Welcome to the May 22nd Sunday service at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. Our sermon this morning is entitled, Look What We Did. It was delivered by the Reverend Christine Brownlee, and Jane Mahone served as the worship associate. This past week, I had the opportunity to meet with our district director, Annette Marquise, to share some of my thoughts about my ministry and the life of this congregation. And I thought how much has happened in 11 and a half years, and how many of the people who come regularly now really don't know the story of this congregation. It's okay. Yeah. And how much we forget. You know, when my children were 9, 10, 11, and curious about their own histories, we would look at their baby books, and I would realize how much I had forgotten of that life that we shared together, and how wonderful it was to have some documentation, some pictures that would bring back both precious and maybe not so precious memories. One of my favorite was, and I won't tell you which son it was, but one of my sons at about 8 months, who was putting yogurt all over himself, and I wiped him clean, and he did it again. And I thought, oh, something's going on here. Don't touch him till he's done. This looks like a mess to me, but to him it's important. And I think so often in groups of people how things will flare up, issues come forward, and you think, wow, you know, what's wrong here? We're learning something. We're learning something about ourselves. We're learning something about each other. We're learning something about how to work together successfully or not work together successfully. You know, well, we won't do that again. But how valuable. It's not just the good times that are valuable. And I think we all know that from our own lives. Sometimes the worst times, the hardest times, the times that stretched us till it hurt, were the best times in retrospect, because we learned important lessons that we needed to know to reach maturity. So I was trying to think about how to present a history of this congregation and what I see as our core values in a way that would be interesting. You know, a lot of us don't like history. It's kind of dull. It puts us to sleep. So I'm going to ask for your participation. And that is, as I describe things that are going on, if you were part of that, or even if you remember it, just raise your hand. You don't have to hold it up for a long time, but just signal. You know, yeah, I was here then. So that the people who don't know about these things, the people who are fairly new, might have a chance to come up to you and say, tell me more. Or, what was the outcome? Or, how did you do that? Or, what was it like? Because it's important for the congregation, as you move to the next stage of your life, as your interim minister comes in, and as you begin the search for a new minister, it's important that you understand your own history. Just as it makes us as individuals more aware of who we truly are, I think you will have a better sense of who you are as one strong body. So when I arrived in 1999, a lot was already going on. The Reverend Rudy Gelsey had been the minister of the congregation. He had worked with you all on some issues, and he had tried to move the congregation from a service format that we might describe as highly intellectual, a sort of a lecture with debate following, is from what I've heard, And to learn to deal with conflict in a way that was open-hearted and compassionate and in the best interest of the congregation. In 1999, the congregation's mission statement was, the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of the New River Valley, we had a different name back then, seeks to be an open and diverse community of love and support in our quest for meaning, hope, and identity. We seek to model and transmit these values to our children as we serve the larger community, humanity, and the environment. How many of you think that, besides the different name, those values that this statement represents are still important? Yeah. We've always had a sense of who we are as a congregation. You've always had a sense of vision as to where you wanted to go, what you wanted to be, what you wanted to do. You wanted to be open, diverse, welcoming to everybody. Diversity is still a high value, and we look for ways to increase that diversity all the time. How can we be more welcoming to people who are not like us? A hard thing to do. How can we be respectful of differences of background, religious belief, life experience, identity? How do we support one another in our intellectual and spiritual journeys? Where do we find common ground and where do we differ? You know, one of the challenges for every Unitarian Universalist minister is to take all of the differences in the congregation into account as you plan a Sunday service. We have a strong commitment to children and youth. Social justice, we consider this to be a high priority. We have a concern for the environment, and one of the ways we experienced this, and I'll speak briefly to this later, was as we prepared to build this building, this space, how could we do so in an environmentally friendly way? And it was difficult. It was difficult, and it proved that many of the things that we wanted to do, we couldn't afford to do. And that was disappointing to us. We had a wonderful startup weekend with my colleague, Reverend Kathleen Relenz. And one of the things that came out of that, which I thought was wonderful, was that this statement was missing something. We wanted more fun together. What does that say? A desire for intimacy, a desire to know one another beyond the good mask we put on Sunday. You know, everything's fine, everything's lovely, I can pay all my bills, and my kids are wonderful. I wish. Christine Reed had just been hired as the congregation's part-time director of religious education. Our music person, our pianist, was Susan Kell, who lives down the road on a little farm. And our choir director was Heidi Levine. We followed the calendar year. So in August, we'd start getting ready for the Every Member Canvas and the service auction, all kinds of things. Busy, 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 gearing up right off the bat. We loved social events. We had circle suppers, fun and frolic. We were full of committees. I remember looking at the list of committees and thinking, wow, for such a small congregation, why do they have so many committees? And we're still asking that question. Why do we have so many committees? How can we move things along? We were involved in Habitat for Humanity. We were doing anti-racism workshops for the district. We were connected to Asbury Methodist Church in Christiansburg, or trying to be connected. We were active in the food pantry. We supported Guest at Your Table. We had humanist dinners, which didn't mean that that's when we ate humanists. But our humanists would gather for a speaker. Women's Spirit was there. We had a children's choir. We did the Advent Garden, the Mitten Tree. We began what we called a memorial garden after the tragic death of a young woman in the congregation, Robin Pendergrass. And there are dogwood trees as you go out the back and to your left. They're beautiful dogwood trees in Robin's memory. And the thing that impressed me so much about this whole very sad loss of a beautiful young woman's life was Robin and her husband, Doug, had just begun attending the congregation really didn't know them. And when she received the awful diagnosis of stage 4 cancer, they just jumped right in. I mean, nobody waited. Nobody said, well, we don't really know them and they might be offended. Uh-uh. You guys were right there for this couple. And it was a huge load. Now, at that time, we had two worship services. The early service was aimed at our humanists. We had a strong cadre of humanists who didn't want music. We didn't have children at the first service. It was a more informal service, more interactive. They had their own topics, and I was allowed to preach once a month. That didn't last very long, because I guess they liked me, and they started coming to the second service, which was causing problems in terms of how many people we could accommodate. So eventually we went to two identical services. Our goals in 2000, build community, build commitment, build a strong religious education program for our children, our youth, and our adults, increase financial security, meaningful worship, share more fun and laughter. We tried to address our committee structure. It didn't work, and we're still where we were way back when. We began to look at our space issues, and long-range planning began to deal with what we might do. I don't see any hands going up here, and I know who was involved in this, and I'm going to start calling you out if you don't. We trained conveners for the Sundays when I was not in the pulpit, and we changed our fiscal year so that it matched our program year, which made planning much easier. We were working at being a big church. We were working at being smooth, aware of what was going on, meeting our needs, not waiting for emergencies or, you know, blow-ups to happen, being proactive. This was great. We started some new programs in religious education. It's Scary to be Hungry, our annual Halloween collection for the food pantry, the Mitten Tree. Our kids and youth were going over to Warm Hearth once a month or every 6 weeks, bringing joy and happiness to those people who were starved. Thank you, Allison. Starved for the sight of young faces. We had a support group for parents of teens. Our religious education space was not getting any bigger, and this was becoming a problem. And the thing that a lot of you don't realize that was really a trial was when we were meeting in Elarth Hall, which was where we had our services for years and years and years, we'd come in and set up the chairs and take them down. How many people helped set up chairs and take them down? This was a big job. So in 2001, we had our first meeting with architect Bob Rogers. In 2001, we also launched covenant groups. How many of you participate in covenant groups or have participated in covenant groups? Okay. Covenant groups are small groups that foster intimacy, intellectual stimulation, close relationships. There is a model for covenant groups that is kind of a brand name, and within the Association of Congregations, we don't follow that. Why was I surprised? We don't follow that. And that's okay, because our covenant groups have been a real source of ministry and friendship and intimacy and support for members of our congregation. We are, however, also now exploring the model, which is these groups are small, they take in new people, they only meet for a period of time, and then everybody's name gets tossed into a container and you pull them out and you're in a new group and you might be with people you don't know. You might even be in a group with people you don't like. I always remember something that one of my seminary professors told, I think it was my preaching professor, Dr. Joey Jeter, who said, "It is not your job to like the members of your congregation. It is your job to love them." I wonder what it would be like if we all practiced that. It's not our job here to like one another. It is our job to love one another. We tried to launch a program called Welcoming Congregation, which is focused on helping straight people welcome and be comfortable with and understand the issues for gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual, and all the other letters that follow now. For the first time I heard you, I don't know what that is, questioning. There was only a small number of attendees, and after a while we decided that we weren't ready yet, and that was okay. We did some anti-racism work within the congregation, and our newsletter won a district award for the best newsletter. Yay! And now the problems. Well, we had a lot of kids, no room for all the kids. We had parking problems. We actually moved the services to 9:30 and 11 with the coffee hour in between. How many of you remember squeezing into the foyer back there and having this ear ringing like you've been at a rock concert for the next 2 hours after you went home? It was unbelievable. We began recording our services on tape. And we all, in the summertime, when we met here in that little room at 9:30, wished for air conditioning. September 11th, 2001, pulled us together as a congregation and as a community. Our youth, Richard, you remember this, I'll betcha. Our youth boldly invited speakers from our Islamic community, and assisted by Jennifer and Corey Mercier and Irene Lamb, cooked up a delicious corn bean soup. We had cornbread, some kind of dessert, I think. And members of the Islamic community talked to us about Islam. We wanted people to know that we were not afraid, that we were open, welcoming, and wanting connection. The money that was raised by this event went to Afghani refugees, and this was the request of our young people, who were fleeing their country out of fear of attacks by American forces. Our congregation participated in a covenanting district workshop that was led by my friend and colleague, the Reverend Ed Piper of Waynesboro. We were looking for a way to build community and keep our relationships in good health, how we could respect one another and value each other despite differences of point of view, how we could hold ourselves and each other accountable for the health of the congregation, for the health of our relationships. I would encourage each one of you to go to our website, uucnrv.org, and on the first tab, where it's about the UUC, drop down to governance, and you will find two covenants. One is a covenant with the minister and the congregation, and the other is a covenant of right relations. And read them. I think we forget they're there. I think we forget that we are a covenanted congregation, and we expect to be in relationship, in right relationship, and when we're not, the covenant says we got to work on it, not turn our backs, not talk to everybody else, but the person who's bugging us. We need to be in right relationship. We formed a Sunday services committee to offer the eternal question of the Unitarian minister. How, O Lord, will I offer sermons that speak to the hearts of every person in my congregation when they sure don't agree on very much some Sundays? We made some changes to the order of service. I'm not sure this is the best way to deal with some of the issues that we have, and I'll be talking about those next Sunday. And we started talking about, should we stay or should we go? Should we stay on this site? Should we look for land elsewhere? We felt a great need to address our space problems. And we were looking at this so hard that we weren't asking necessarily all the questions we needed to ask. We were also very caught up in a lot of social action projects, which has always been so important to this congregation, no matter what was happening. A lot of the work of social action at that time had been supporting programs in our congregation, welcoming congregation. Locally, we were writing letters to local and national representatives. Social action had some funds. How would we use that money to our best advantage? in terms of supporting groups that really needed support. But we wanted more than what we were doing in social action. We talked about the need for face-to-face, interpersonal, really getting to know people who were radically different from us, going into the trailer parks, maybe doing some tutoring, maybe doing help with literacy volunteers, really stretching ourselves out of our comfort zone. And so we began to take on projects that moved us in this direction, but they still weren't face-to-face. I remember filling backpacks and bags for guys who were coming out of prison. And they have nothing. I mean, when they leave prison, I don't even know if they get $5 to go buy themselves a meal. So we were doing that. We also worked to help women who were going from welfare to work. We were trying to be innovative and to look at the needs of people in our little community and where the gaps were. This was interesting, fun work, but we knew it still wasn't where we truly, truly wanted to be. We offered the Follow Your Star program to our middle schoolers, and this is the beginning of doing the coming of age program and also the sexuality education that we call OWL, Our Whole Lives. These seeds are being planted. We weren't ready yet, but they were being planted. And our children received, and I thought this was so sweet, an invitation to attend a Seder from the children and youth of our local Jewish center. We were raising money for Guests at Your Table through the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee to support their work. We were facing some Sunday issues, announcements, long announcements, joys and concerns. Were some of them appropriate for children? I heard from some parents who said that the kids were going home from Sunday service frightened. And so we decided to change the order of service once again. We were looking for more spirituality in our services. At least some of us were and some of us weren't. And so we tried to meet this by holding Friday evening vespers where we had dinner and then we shared time together and we had wonderful food cooked by Shana Kreiner. We offered evensong. Barry Katz, was our choir director and after Heidi and her husband moved. And Barry decided there were other things he wanted to do with his life, and that's when Goldie Terrell, became our volunteer choir director. Goldie, thank you for all of you that you've done. I think our music program has just bloomed in the last 3 to 4 years. Jared's not there yet. Jared's not there yet. We will. We're thinking about a building. We're meeting with the architect. We're starting to talk about what we want this building to look like. How much land will we have? And then something happened. Mike Skinner, Steve Caton, and I attended a district workshop on strategic planning. And the three of us realized at the end of that workshop, we were not ready to build a building. There were many, many questions that needed to be addressed before we took that step. And I don't remember where it was. I think it was maybe at Eno River. We drove home so fast because that very evening there was going to be a meeting of the neighborhood to tell them about our plans for this new building that the three of us thought we shouldn't be building. Well, fortunately, you know, sometimes things work out. Only one neighbor showed up. And that was because there was, I think, the Emmys or the Grammy or something was on. And everybody wanted to watch that. And they really didn't care what we were doing, I guess. But this was a very hard thing to kind of poke a stick into this wheel that was turning very rapidly. And there were people who were really angry. And we had to live with that. And that was very difficult. I really feel badly when I have to challenge somebody's dream. But I think it worked out for the best in the long run. In 2003, the goals of the congregation were to improve our RE curriculum support and equipment, to enhance our Sunday services. We wanted more guest speakers. We wanted a better sound system. We wanted some sanctuary upgrades. And if you, when you go to coffee, and the window that you see behind me now is where those blue partitions were. But think of how small it was to have 70 people in that room. And no air conditioning. We wanted a memorial wall. We wanted support for campus ministry. We wanted to fund the delegates' travel expenses for General Assembly and other meetings. We wanted leadership development programs, religious education. And we were talking about looking at fair, what the Unitarian Universalist Association calls fair compensation for staff. Still a goal, I think. Our youth began to raise money for a trip to our Mecca, the city of Boston, where it all began for us. And they went. They had a wonderful time. The biggest thrill of their visit was getting to see Blue Man. I remember them talking about that. Yep. But I think it also made them realize that there was a lot beyond our walls. Maria Rott was hired as our pianist. She was in high school at the time and left us, a couple of years after graduating from college. We changed our name. How many people remember all the discussion about changing our name? We had been the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of the New River Valley, which felt very long and awkward. And we also wanted to recognize that we were no longer a fellowship. This congregation wanted it known that you had professional ministry, that we were a congregation. Lots of discussion, of course. I don't know how long it took us, but we eventually came up with the name Unitarian Universalist Congregation, which is short and sweet. But if you look at that banner, we still found we needed to have some kind of identifying moniker when we went out into the larger Unitarian Universalist world. And I remember, I think it was Cynthia and I went to a conference, and they said, "Who are you?" And he said, "We're the Unitarian Universalist Congregation." And they said, "Yeah, we know that. Who are you?" "We're the Unitarian Universalist." They didn't know where to put us because there was nothing that said where we were. Might be something to revisit. We stood up proudly for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender partners of professors when they were hired at Virginia Tech. There had been an issue about, well, we'll hire this person, but we don't want her partner. Our social action reached into our youth group, and they began to sell fair trade coffee. We took another survey. I don't think I've ever been in a congregation that loves to take surveys and assessments and everything else as much as this one does. We wanted to be more visible in the community. We wanted more caring and supportive relationships within the congregation, more open. We wanted to be more open to growth, more proactive about letting people know who we are as a religious community. And we kept looking for land. We couldn't find anything that we could afford. And then, a miracle. Dr. Gross, who owned the property on Lark Lane that abutted our property, called up, I don't know, I think it was Larry Landrum, and said, "I hear you folks are looking for land. And if you will take my parcel exactly as it is, two houses, some interesting buildings, and I will give you a good price," and we eventually bought it. Without that generous offer from Dr. Gross, I don't think we'd be here today. And he was a Lutheran, by the way. But he liked us very much. And his son earned money cutting our grass while he was in high school, I think, and that made him happy too. Boy, oh boy, was there a lot for our trustees to do once we accepted this offer and once we purchased this land. You have no idea how complicated these things can get. We added more Sunday groups. We added more small groups, Sunday circle. We had hikes and wine and cheese parties and game nights and picnics and circle suppers. We need more of these things, people. We need to have more fun together, spend more time together. Social action took on equity issues, criminal justice work, living wage, civil liberties. John Ashcroft had just got his law passed that we felt violated our civil liberties, and I was just shocked to find out that the Obama administration has once again supported this. I'm very disappointed. We made a third run at becoming a welcoming congregation in 2004. Bob and Ethel Marie Underhill and several others decided that this was the time. And we had several weeks of meetings and classes. Bob was diagnosed during this time with a fatal brain tumor. And it was such a joy to realize his wish at our congregational meeting in 2004. And he got to make the request, the motion, that we become a welcoming congregation. I'll always remember Dick Luke pulling down somebody who was in front of him, and he said, "No, let Bob do that." You were right, Dick. There was a growing sense of community. And the witness to this is that the DuPonts, who had been hosting the Thanksgiving dinner, said, "You know, we need to move this to the building because we can't keep up with this." We were also very involved with the NAACP, Interweave. And we began the vision of our mission statement. We're constantly asking ourselves, who are we? Who do we want to be? This process of self-examination. More visible in the community, more opportunities for connection, more social action. Our youth got to go to Boston again. Well, no, I've got that in the wrong place. Oh, our new banner. Our new banner was made in 2004 to honor our new name. Gloria Heath, Sally Mook, Elaine Myers, and lots of others participated in the creation of this beautiful banner, which was in turn the inspiration for the beautiful logo that Bonnie Moreno made up for us a few years later. We truly walk in beauty. We initiated greeters. Our caring committee was formalized, and we added new members, and at that point, our membership totaled 150. In 2005-2006, we just followed along with these same values. We started supporting the Crop Walk. We supported a family who came from New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. And we also made a trip to Mississippi to help renovate and restore communities that had been damaged by Hurricane Katrina. We started our Green Team, our peacemaking team. We began to revive PFLAG. We attended Gay Pride events. We had groups for parents of young children. The SAGES started. And a sabbatical committee was formed because in the following year, in 2007, I planned on going on sabbatical, having stepped back from that plan once in order to support the canvas. We started Fourth Sunday offerings. I would love to know how much money this congregation has raised for local charities simply through our Fourth Sunday. I think it must be thousands of dollars. I went on sabbatical, and in April I came back after the shootings at Virginia Tech. We were on campus. We had a beautiful memorial. Our caring visitors team was magnificent in this time. Our presidents, the DuPonts, helped to hold the congregation together in the face of what was probably one of the most traumatic events that many of us had ever experienced. We made our last payment on the old building. Hooray! And Jared was hired as our pianist. Another hooray! We had our groundbreaking. Do you remember standing out there on that gorgeous day, the kids with their ribbons, and the dream was finally going to be realized? It was incredible. This led us into a whole new experience of living with construction. And I can remember one windy March day, I'm standing in that front of that window, and this is all behind me. And I'm watching Scott Myers. The building has, the construction site has not really been secured, and there were high winds. And I can see Scott, who's sitting, getting up a little bit and getting up a little bit. And I'm aware that something behind me is moving. And I decided that if Scott stood up, I was going to lay down. I wasn't sure what it was, but I knew it might be very bad. That was the first service. The second service, in between services, he went back and secured whatever it was. Lorene Blakemore was hired as a coordinator of volunteers. Our green team led us in the UUA Green Sanctuary program. Dick, are we a certified Green Sanctuary congregation? Not yet. Something to aspire to. We had lots of study groups and small groups that were started by the congregation, and we started something that I call one-night stand circle suppers. You didn't have to go to the same group all the time. So we mixed it up a little more. We started dreaming of our playground. We had jazz night, cookbooks. On July 12th, 2008, we had a wonderful picnic celebrating the completion of the building. And September 7th was our big celebration Sunday. I'm sorry, September 27th, 2008 was our big celebration Sunday. The women's lunch was launched, men's groups, the memorial group came off of hiatus, which they had to do while we were building. We had wonderful annual stewardship drives. The playground group had amassed $10,000, started to make purchases. Our social action committee added housing, rehab, AIDS relief, peace team, prevent gun violence, peace with Iran, and we revived Interweave and PFLAG. We pushed for alternative Christmas, anti-racism work, and the green team challenged us personally to lose some of our carbon weight. And they made us figure out how much carbon, how big our carbon footprint was and how much we could shed. We had our first concert in this building with Walkin' Jim Stoltz. We had Church of the Moment, something that Paula Markham and I did for those who were still longing for more spirituality. We formed a UUs for Justice in the Middle East. Here's the second UU trip to Boston. Our newsletter went electronic. We entered the 21st century. We revived Fun and Frolic, meditation groups, eBay sales. We've created a help network for our staff. We have revived PFLAG and Interweave. We've talked to our school districts about safe schools. We have wonderful kiosks now for our name tags and announcements. We've launched Coming of Age. Lots and lots of adult education programs. Over 100 adults and children contributed items to our last service auction. That's amazing. We've had the NAACP hold their Martin Luther King celebration in our building. A surviving spouse support group was started. We started to advertise ourselves more to the larger community at the University Mall, the Lyric Theater. We've produced info cards for our people to carry, and where they say, well, what do Unitarian Universalists believe? Here you go. We can tell them. We're working on a labyrinth. We have worship associates. We stood on the side of love when Westboro came to town. We formed a care team for Terry Gross when she was going through her illness. We now dedicated our long-awaited memorial garden. My gosh, have we been busy? Have we kept the faith with our own commitments to the things that are important to us? Sometimes, you know, something would move forward and something would pull back. That's life. But always, 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 we held our vision strong and clear. And this is where we are now. This is where you are now as a congregation. Give yourselves a big round of applause. I am so proud to have been your minister. I know that the interim who comes after me will have ideas, will have observations, but first, I know he will get to know you. Please make this easy for him. please give him your time, your thoughts. Without that, he cannot do the job that he needs to do for you. Dear ones, we have come so far, and now is our path split. It is with joy and hope that I say, I wish you a wonderful future that makes your dreams come true in ways you could not possibly imagine, that challenges you, that deepens your commitment to this beloved community. Amen.
Well, I want to thank Chris so much for helping us have such a joyous review of the years of our congregation. And as her biggest fan, okay, maybe some people like her as much as I do. I just want to thank her so much for the huge part that she has played in all the things she's told us about this.
I have sermon reflections scheduled next and on an order service, and we're not going to have time for that, but I am going to reflect on my sermon in that I forgot something that was really important. And what I forgot was the art exhibits that we've had, the wonderful art exhibits, the beautiful flowers. I'd like to thank Bonnie and all of her committee. Here are the gorgeous flowers, and we have them every week without fail, the wonderful art exhibits. Thank you so much. It was on my list, and I just ran right over it. I apologize. Trying to keep up with time, which is fleeing quickly.
After I delivered the sermon on May 22nd, I realized there were a few things that I had forgotten. So here they are. And if you have any more ideas of things that should have been mentioned, please let me know, and we'll try to squeeze them in. Art shows featuring local artists have long been a source of enjoyment and delight for our congregation. Originally, these were hung by Sally and Dean Mook. Sally's wonderful commentary on the pieces that were provided to us were a source of great enjoyment to everyone. Several members of our congregation have had a long association with the local NAACP. As we have worked closely with them over the years on issues of racism in our community, we were honored and recognized for that work in 2009 at the Freedom Fund banquet with a lovely plaque. One of the especially fun aspects of trying to go green has been our community garden, which was started in 2009. Local people and our own members of our own community work together to grow food and often to feed the local wildlife.
You've been listening to a sermon from the Unitarian Universalist Meeting House located in Blacksburg, Virginia. For more information about our congregation, please visit our website at uucnrv.org.